All right. So what we're going to look at, we've looked at the, of course, the warning about the how the power of the tongue, as we've seen in Proverbs. We've looked at the, of course, the evil use of the tongue in some ways. And we've also looked at the good use. We spent a few weeks at least talking about the good use of the tongue. Most recently, we were talking about ways we can encourage one another and praise one another for good things. And so what we want to do now is look at one of the common themes as related to the tongue in Proverbs, which is flattery. Flattery. So let's just go through the verses. There's only 7 verses in Proverbs that directly deal with flattery. So we'll look at those. So starting in chapter 2 of Proverbs. Chapter 2 of Proverbs. All right, let's pray together and then we'll begin reading. Lord in heaven, thank you for the opportunity to meet together and just to give our attention to what you have said in your word. We pray your blessing would be upon it and our hearts, Lord, would be just wide open like a sponge, ready to receive the word with meekness and with fear. And Lord, we just want to use our tongue aright. Lord, we know the pain and the sting of having to apologize and seek forgiveness because of the unbridled use of our tongue. And so, Lord, we don't like that. We want to say and speak things that honor you and glorify you and that please you. And Lord, we also want our heart and our thoughts to be consistent with our mouth and our words. And so we just ask for your help, Lord, that our mouth, we would have one mouth, as your word says, with one mouth and heart, we would glorify you. And so, Lord, help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Chapter 2, verse number 16. Chapter 2, verse number 16. The Bible says this. We got to look at the context, okay? Verse 10 says, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness and walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths." So we're talking about the wicked now. And going back up to verse 12, verse 16 continues the same structure here. In other words, the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God is intended to, verse 12, deliver us from the way of the evil man. And then in verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Okay? So the first instance in Proverbs in which you see the word flatter is in connection with the strange woman. All right, somebody give me a definition. You all have read Proverbs. What is a good definition for a strange woman? All right, wicked woman, woman of the world. What'd you say? A harlot, okay. So such abrasive language, brother. Anybody else? Now, the word strange in the Bible is usually a reference like strangers. Sister Judy and I were talking about the mixed multitude that came out of Egypt with Israel. There were strangers among them. That is, they were foreigners. So a strange woman, the word strange just means foreign. And it can refer to someone who's actually foreign, like not of the same group. But it also can refer to a woman that, like Brother David is saying, who is, like, if you're married and there's a wicked woman like that, she's not your wife, she should be a stranger to you, right? So so it has all of those meanings. But this is the first instance of flattery in Proverbs, and it is also the first time of several in which it is connected, flattery that is, with the strange woman. Look at chapter number 6. Chapter 6, verse number 24. verse 23 for context. Chapter 6, verse 23, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." What's interesting with the commandment being a lamp and the law being light is those things are intended to shine and illuminate the path that we're on. Because, listen, most people in this world, and you know, I'm not saying this and them, this is us included, most people in this world just walk according to the lust of the flesh. In other words, the impulses of what they want to do, whatever drives them, and it's like they're walking in the dark. And if you've ever walked in the dark, how many of you in the past week have just absolutely dashed your foot on something in the dark? Yeah, dash thy foot against a shoe, a dresser, a bed frame, or whatever. And that will really test if you have dirty words in your heart or not. Because when you feel that pain, whatever's in your heart instantly wants to come out because it hurts. And you don't have a whole lot of time to filter it. And so that goes back to the use of our words in Proverbs, right? So it's like that as far as the way people live. Is it's like walking through your house in the dark. They just live according to impulses. There's no light. In other words, there's no way for them to see the dangers. There's no way for them to see the path. It is fraught with danger. There's potholes and there's obstacles and there's dangers all around. And that sin that they're chasing after is going to hurt them. And they will not see it coming because there's no light. There's no light. That's what the verse says here in verse 24. Just as a clarifier, if you walk through your house and you dash your foot against the bed frame, that's not an excuse to say filthy words. But I'm just saying that's when that'll be tested because, so I don't know how many times I've done that. And usually the whole house knows when I've done it because they hear me growling and screaming and anyway, occasionally throwing things. Who left this here? I will ensure it's never left here again. Oh, man. Okay, back to our lesson here. Verse 24. "So the law is designed," verse 24, "to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman." So that goes to what Brother David said, the evil woman. Notice the parallel language. The evil woman is paralleled with strange woman in verse 24. But notice, again, flattery. Now, sometimes we might get the impression that the someone who is wicked and evil will have wicked and evil words, and that's true. But it's not always going to appear that way. All right, let's look at chapter 7. We're right here, verse number... I'll just read verse 21, but we're going to come back to chapter 7 in a minute. It says this, speaking of the strange woman, the adulteress, "with her much fair speech," verse 21, "she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him." All right, 3 out of 3. Well, there's only 7 instances of flattery in Proverbs. 3 of the 7 so far, all 3 of them have connected it with the strange woman. Look at chapter 20. Chapter 20, verse 19. "He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets." Listen, pause here a second. Sadly, I've lived this, and you probably have too. If someone will gossip to you, they will gossip about you. If someone is known to gossip, you better believe that your secret is not safe with them. You're no different than every other person they've listened to. So just mark it down. You and I should not think, well, you know, we're really good friends, or, you know, they're a good person, or this is my favorite, personal favorite. They're really nice. As if that has anything to do with anything. They're so nice. Mark it down. If they gossip about you or to you, they'll gossip about you. And if they're known to gossip, they will gossip. Do not give those people secrets or anything that you do not want other people to know. Okay, that's just free of charge, all right? Okay, chapter 20, verse 19. Continuing, therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. The Lord says, if meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. What that simply indicates is that if someone is known to use their words of praise lightly and give it to everyone equally, just mark it down. Mark it down. That's not somebody that you need to be spending a lot of time with. Okay? To meddle with them, that's not a person you want to associate with, generally speaking. Okay? Chapter 26, if you'd look there. Chapter 26, verse number 28. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. I don't think the Lord has very good view of flattery up to this point, do you? Chapter 28. Look at chapter 28, verse 23. He that rebuketh a man afterwards, the key being there, afterwards, shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. Now, let me just warn you of a potential extreme. Sometimes people they look at a verse like that where it says, you know, it's better to rebuke a man afterwards than it is to flatter with the tongue. And they take it to the extreme to where the only thing they ever want to do is rebuke people. And they look for people to correct all the time. That's an extreme. Okay? And the other extreme is flattery. You never rebuke anybody. You never say anything unpleasant. You only say things that people want to hear. Now, those are two extremes. Both of them are bad. But there is a point to be made that there are absolutely times, and I'm speaking, you know, we know this is true within the family, although I think some parents have a problem with being unwilling to tell their kids no and correct them. That is the thing. What do they call that? Permissive parenting. That's not the word I'm thinking of, although that would be true. What's it called? What's that? The positive parenting? Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, I think that's what it's called. Positive parenting is this modern philosophy in which people, you know, people with degrees behind their names and that are therapists and, you know, people that are supposedly trained are instructing people that they should not say anything negative to their children. In other words, when their children is doing something bad or dangerous, they redirect their child rather than directly confronting what the child is doing. And sometimes parents aren't, they're not engaged in that kind of parenting per se, but they parent like that. In other words, exactly. Yeah, it's not a new thing, it's just they put a label on it and now it's a thing, you know. Look, the reality is, although there are extremes to this verse 23, 28:23, rebuking and flattery, there are extremes to this. There is also a happy medium, which is there are times when rebuke is proper. And we should not indulge in those things or be gratified with that kind of situation, but there are times when that's proper. But let me just stop there and we'll pick up on that a little bit later. All right, chapter 29, verse number 5. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. So there you have the seven the seven instances of flattery in the Bible. Now, what is flattery? Let's look at the definition real quick. What is flattery? Flattery is simply this: insincere words of praise. Insincere words of praise. All right? Hold your place in Proverbs and look at Psalm number 78. Psalm 78, verse number 36. Insincere words of praise. I just want to lay this out there because this is what the Bible says on the subject of flattery. Psalm 78, verse 36 says this: "Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues." So just lay it out there. Insincere words of praise is lying. It is nothing else and nothing short of lying. Now, flattery is a common Southern cultural feature, right? Southerners, and I was born and raised in the South, but Southerners are taught to flatter. They're taught to say nice things to people that they do not mean. The Lord says that's lying. That's lying. So that's not something we should be doing. So we'll address that in just a second. Look at Psalm 12, since we're already here. Psalm number 12. Verse number 2. Psalm 12, verse 2 says this: They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. So what that does, that connects, which we all know, we've already studied in Proverbs, that the lips, the words, are connected to the heart, okay? Well, here's the way it's connected. The flattering lips, insincere words of praise, is connected to a double heart, that is a heart with mixed motives, where its purposes are not pure and it's not single. That's what it means to have a double heart. So let me just say, make this point from these verses here. All of a Christian's words should be sincere and genuine. And if we cannot say something with sincerity and genuineness, then we should not speak that thing. We should not speak with, as Psalm 12, 2 says, with a double heart. In other words, what we say and what's in our heart, our motives, should match. Should match. And furthermore, when we speak, there should not be a scheme behind our words. And this is very, very common. What I'm saying now, scheming with our words, is not a feature of just the South. This is everybody does. When we say one thing, but we're intending another, or we have a motive that's not apparent, and we're using words to hide that motive or to bring that thing to pass. We should not use flattery. To others so that they will think well of us. And this is the feature of the South, I think, is really, you've known people like this. They will say to your face almost anything to curry favor, to make you think well of them, because by them giving you praise, you think well of them. So like, Sister York, I want you to like me, so I'm going to say nice things about you so that you will like me. Whether they're true or not is irrelevant. You see, that is inconsistent with the Scripture. Of course, we all want people to think well of us, right? But the way you do that is by loyalty and faithfulness and honesty and being wise with your words. And then giving praise where praise is due. It's when it becomes insincere and disingenuous that the problem comes. Okay. Another factor of flattery that I think is we need to be very, and one of the reasons that flattery is so, the Lord gives us warnings on it, insincere words of praise. Think about it. Words of praise. How many of you like to hear words of praise? I like to hear words of praise. Oh, your preaching is so good. Oh, your kids are so well behaved. Oh, you're whatever. You know, people, and listen, I'm not saying that mocking, you know. All I'm saying is that those are just kinds of words of praise that people might say, and you might have, oh, I like that dress, or you're that haircut, or whatever. You know, you do a good job at work, Ben. You're awesome. Here's the thing. We all like that. But the problem with flattery is that flattery is insincere. Now, all words of praise are not flattery. Don't give me the wrong impression. We should, as we've already studied, we should give words of praise when they're due. We should. Recognize that. That's a good thing. Good way to use the tongue. As long as it's sincere. But the reason flattery is such a problem is because we do love words of praise. And what flattery does is it reinforces the natural high esteem we have of ourselves. We already think we're hot stuff. I say that for a man. Men already think they're hot stuff. Like they already, you know, they are look in the mirror and they look at their muscles and, you know, and they, men already think that. And ladies do the same thing, just in a different way. We already think we're hot stuff. In other words, pride is a natural tendency of man. And what flattery does is it reaffirms what we already think of ourselves in that way and causes us to believe it. Here's the antidote, though, for flattery. Humility. That's the antidote. So flattery is so dangerous and such a pitfall because it reaffirms what we already think of ourselves in our own pride. And this is you, this is me, this is everybody. This is a tendency, it's a natural tendency of mankind. It's in the heart of man. We think a lot of ourselves. Flattery plays upon that. Humility is the antidote. In other words, if we have a right and scriptural view of ourselves, and that's what we've gone over so many times in our class, if we have a right view of ourselves, you know what that'll do? When we hear insincere words of praise, or even sincere words of praise, you know what it does? It makes us less likely to believe them. You know why? Because we recognize and have been taught of God the way we truly are. And so we hear the words of praise, even when they're good words of praise, and we're like, well, if you only knew me like I know me, you know, kind of thing. But then when they're insincere, we're not as quick to believe. And that keeps us from pride. It comes back to humility, having a right view of ourselves. Now, 2 Peter 2:3, just before we get into the final like stretch of what I want to say, 2 Peter 2:3 mentions how that false prophets will use feigned words. The word feigned just means fake. But of course, these are fake words that are pleasing to the ears, right? They itch the ears. So they use words that are false, that are untrue, but they use them in such a way that they sound appealing to the ear. In essence, flattery. So one aspect of false teachers is flattery. Like, for instance, sometimes I've seen Mormons do this. You know, the Mormon elders who are 18. Some of y'all didn't get that. You know, in fact, they've approached our families years ago. You don't see them out as much as anymore, but they approached our family and they would say nice things about our family. Oh, well, you have such a nice family. You know, there's another motive for them. They're not walking up to us and we're struck by the niceness of our little kids. You know, no. They had a motive. It was flattery. But that is a feature of false teachers. And when people preach and teach the Bible plainly, not trying to be mean or have a bad attitude or whatever, but when people just refuse to use flattery, sometimes that offends people because they've come to expect it. And, you know, you feel bad about that, but listen, it's about our, the Lord's the only one who sees our heart. It's about having a pure heart with God, genuineness. Lord, you know what I'm saying is true. I believe what I'm saying to you. And so, all right, last thing I want to look at today, go back to chapter 5 of Proverbs. I want to look at the subject of the strange woman, especially from chapter 7. So we'll stop by in chapter 5 really quick. Proverbs 5. Verse 3. Proverbs 5, verse 3. It says this, "For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil." This tells us very plainly that the words of a strange woman appeal to the ears of the man, her prey. In other words, this, and I'm just speaking, I know I'm only speaking to a segment of our group here, but when the Lord repeatedly in Proverbs warns us of strange women and warns us about their characteristics so that we can avoid them. Now we know, he tells us, we know that what they say is going to sound appealing. So if we have this idea that because we have a good marriage, all of a sudden we're not going to be, that's not true. We have to be careful. We have to be careful. And I'm going to show you how to do that in just a minute. Since we know the woman's words is one feature of the strange woman, we should keep such a distance from her that we cannot hear her words. In other words, stay out of earshot. One of the most powerful things a strange woman has is her words. Verse 3. Verse 8 further confirms this. Notice what it says. "Remove thy way from her, and come not," what's the next word? "Nigh the door of her house." Distance. 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 One rule we have is we don't ride in the car alone with a person of the opposite sex in our marriage. We just don't do it. The exception to that would be like my grandmother, you know, or something like that. But as a general rule, we don't do that. It's just distance. It is right for a husband to keep distance from other women. Right? And I know every woman is not a strange woman. I'm not implying that. But what I am saying is when they are a strange woman, that distance needs to be multiplied. It is right to do that. And no man or woman should feel ashamed for the barriers and the safeguards that they put up to protect their marriage. And people will laugh and they'll mock. Let them mock. Let them mock. Now go to chapter 7, verse 8. This is the instance Solomon pulls out about an observation with a young man who went. Verse number 8 says, "The young man passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house." Notice that. He was warned to stay far away, but in his foolishness, he drew near, certainly within earshot of this woman. And if we can hear what she is saying, men, we have lost half the battle because her words are one of her most potent weapons. And we are foolish if we think that being near and hearing the words, we will come out unscathed, because we will not. Therefore, we must purpose long before that we will not even get close. We will not get close. You know, so and this is where people cry, liberty, liberty, liberty. Does the Bible say you can't ride in the car with a woman? No, it doesn't say that. You're not going to find a verse that says that. But you know what? I am giving up my liberty to protect something that is valuable. You know, that's right. That's good. You know, they have a guardrails on windy roads in the mountains, right? you're not supposed to hit the guardrails. The guardrails are designed to protect you if you lose control of your vehicle. You're not supposed to ride scraping the guardrails, right? Liberty, liberty, liberty. Now in chapter 7, verse number 21, the Bible says this, "With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him." Notice what she says. She said, verse 14, "I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore I came forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee." Notice, she's saying what he wants to hear. She doesn't mean it, but she's saying it. And he's so arrogant, lack of humility, that he believes this, that he's hot stuff. He's not, though. "I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works and fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Come, take, let us take our fill of love into the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves, for the good man is not home. He hath gone a long journey," etc. So notice, she's saying exactly what he wants to hear, right? He's saying exactly what she wants to he wants to hear. And because he has no humility, he's a young, foolish man, he believes the flattery. She doesn't mean it. She's just trying to trap him. And ultimately, here's the thing I want you to take away from this. Verse 21. Ultimately, what was his downfall? One thing. You know what it was? Verse 21. What ultimately caused him to fall? Her flattery. Her words destroyed him. That was the primary thing. Verse 21. "With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him." She couldn't force him physically, but her words forced him. So the question is, why get close? Stay so far away that you can't hear what she's saying if you know that's true, right? Run. Joseph with Potiphar's wife, run. Get to where you can't hear the words, because we know how dangerous the words are. So on the subject of flattery, we should keep in mind, anytime we hear someone that's giving us constant praise, we should be like, hold on now. Hold on. I know I'm not that great, right? Humility teaches us that. I know I'm not that great, just to make us aware. And again, it's not to make you suspicious of what everybody says that might be nice to you, but it is to make us aware that that is a danger. That is a danger. Okay, let's pray together.